This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we are in a series entitled God's Blueprint for a Well-Managed Life. God's Blueprint for a Well-Managed Life. This series has been all about taking the word of God and making sure that we're just not hearers of the word, but we're doers of the word. And if we do that, we will learn to manage our lives well so we can live the incredible life that Jesus died for us to live. John 10 and 10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Okay, I need your help, so get ready. Jesus says, I've come that you might have... and that you might have it right. In the Amplified, it says, to the full till it overflows. So I want to talk to you today from the subject of, because last week was powerful. We talked about emotional freedom, all right? And if you weren't here, hopefully you've already listened to it. But if not, go back to YouTube or go back to our website and listen to it. But today I want to talk to you about living a life of rest. Living a life of rest. Today is all about having balance and living this life of rest and refreshing. Everybody say, consistently. It is not the will of God for you to always be wore out, always be tired, always be dragging, but is the will of God for you to live a life of rest and refreshing consistently. Now, I'm not just talking about a nap, but how many in the room believe in some Sunday afternoon naps, right? Like Sunday afternoon naps are the will of God. How many say, Pastor, it don't have to be Sunday, just a nap period will work for me, right? Yeah, but I'm not just talking about a nap, not just physical rest, but I'm talking about, on the inside, this inner balance, so I can realign and allow my soul to rest and allow my soul to be healthy. Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 28th verse is our foundational text. Out of the KJV, it says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are what, class? All right, heavy laden. In the Greek, that word means that you work to exhaustion when you see heavy laden. He says, and I will give you rest. He says, the longer you live, the more you realize that rest is a gift. You know, and when I was young, you got it, growing up in my father's house, and, you know, bedtime was 9 o'clock, man. You know, I used to get mad that bedtime was 9 o'clock. Now that I'm an adult, if I get an opportunity to get ready for bed that early at 9 o'clock, I'm like, that's the will of God for my life, right? Yeah, because the longer you live, the more you realize that rest is really a gift. When we were kids, we would get grounded, meaning that we had to stay in the house all day, right? And you didn't like that. Now if you can get a Saturday where you just stay in the house all day, you're like, the Lord is good. Right? Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek. That word meek has to do with gentle and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. So not just a physical rest, but a rest for your soul. He says, for my yoke is and my burden is. This is an invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ to live a stress-free, worry-free life. God has created a life that is perfectly fit for you. And God is saying, if you'll do things my way, you will get my results in your life. If you do things my way, you will get rest. Now, rest, hear me now, is not inactivity, rather a condition of the soul. So it's while you're working, it's not wearing you out. Right? They talk about eagles and eagles fly. And when eagles fly, you know, of course, we know that they fly high. But something you may not have known is that when they fly, they rarely flap their wings because they depend and rely on the rising air current, you know, to lift them to altitude so they can just soar. And so in life, you and I have to make a decision. Are we going to live on our own power, or are we going to live on the power of the Holy Spirit that will lift us up to help us to soar over every circumstance, over every situation, over every challenge, so we can get the victory, not in some areas, but in every area of our life. I don't know about you, but I'm depending on the Holy Spirit to lead me, to guide me, to help me, to correct me when I need correction. Like, I want everything the Holy Spirit has so I can live the life that God has chosen for me to live. Amen? Amen. Matthew, the 11th chapter, in the 28th verse, in the Message translation, Message is actually a paraphrase. It says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? He says, come to me, get away with me and you'll recover your life. How many know there has to be some time in the week where you just get away with Jesus? It's just you and Jesus, nobody else, right? You know, you're around coworkers, praise the Lord for coworkers. You're on social media, praise the Lord for social media, I guess, all right? You know, all these other things, but how many know there's got to be some quiet time where you can just get with you and Jesus? He says, I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced, everybody say unforced. Unforced rhythms of grace. He says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live you'll learn to live freely and you'll learn to live lightly. That is God's will for your life. It is not God's will for you to be stressed out. It is not God's will for you to talk about my anxiety. Why are you receiving it anyway? It's not your anxiety. You got it. That comes from the enemy. You got it. So if the enemy tries to put anxiety on you, you can't receive it. You got to tell them, no, the devil is a lie, right? Because how many know that that's not your portion? Fear is not your portion. Anxiety is not your portion. Stress is not your portion. Come on. And so peace is your portion. And joy is your portion. And increase is your portion, right? So accept and receive the things that belong to you, but the things that don't belong to you, you got to tell the devil to take them, take it back. I didn't order this. It doesn't belong to me, right? And so God wants you to have rest and not restlessness. And the biggest thing that some people have lost in their lives is a sense of rest. And you've got to work overtime. You have to have a discipline. And you really have to make sure that God's voice is the loudest voice in your life if you're going to really get this rest that God wants you to have. Because how many know it'll always be something pulling at you? Right? That's just how life is, right? And now we've in a day and time where we've got the technology. Of course, we praise God for technology, but anybody can get you at the drop of a hat, right? Because you got a cell phone. Now, not only do you have a cell phone, some of us have those Apple Watches, right? And so now when my phone's not even with me, my Apple Watch is here. But if somebody doesn't have my cell number, you got it. Now, I'm not on Messenger, so don't try to message me, but they got Messenger, right? I don't got his number. But so we got this, we have this society where everything can pull at you. So many things, and sometimes you got to learn how to push it all the way, spend a little time with Jesus so your soul can get the rest that it needs. Does that make sense? Amen. All right. Now, if you're going to clap, give me a good clap. Don't patty cake in the house of the Lord. All right. So I want to use the word rest as an acronym and give you four principles to help you rest in your soul. Are y'all ready for this today? All right. Everybody say number one. Number one, the first acronym, the letter R, is relax in who you are. Everybody say relax, in who you are. All right, look at your neighbor and say, I think he's talking to you. I think he's talking to you. Now look at your other neighbor, your second choice. I don't know why they were your second choice. And say, I'm pretty sure he's talking to you too. I'm pretty sure he's talking to you. All right. Now just boldly declare, but I'm positive he's talking to me. I'm positive. Yeah, all right. So relax in who you are. Relax in who you are. In other words, learn how to be comfortable in your own skin. You got it? You know, learn, you know, don't always try to be caught up in comparison, in competition, and trying to be with somebody and be better than somebody. You know, if you're not careful, you'll get caught over into those things and you'll get caught over into pride. One thing I've learned is that pride or ambition can drive someone to be something that they're not. You got it. See, pride and ambition are always looking over the fence, saying, I've got to be like them, or worse yet, I've got to be better than them. But let me just give you a news flash. God knew exactly what he was doing when he created you, right? So don't be a copycat of a great original. God knew exactly what he was doing. Your smile is the right smile. Your height is the right height. Your laugh is the right laugh, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You've been made in his image. You've been made in his likeness. And God knew exactly what he was doing when he created you. Ladies, I hope when you got dressed this morning, you looked in the mirror and said, you's a bad mamma jamma, because you got to learn how to encourage your own self. You, if, watch this. If you don't love you, how do you expect other people to love you? If you don't think highly of yourself, how do you expect other people to think highly of yourself? And so God knew exactly what he was doing when he created you. So the key is knowing who you are and whose you are, that you are the apple of his eye, that you are the object of his affection, that you are somebody. Everybody say, I am somebody. All right, and so you've got to understand that. See, I have a perfect sense of relaxation in who I am, right, and who Jesus is on the inside of me, right? If you've been with me long enough, you know Pastor don't try to be like anybody else, right? Pastor's just going to be his normal self. So some people, it doesn't matter how people feel. He's a little dizzy. It don't matter. You got it, because I'm not in competition with anybody. I'm not in comparison with anybody. Paul teaches us that when we compare, we become unwise. And so what happens is I'm marching to the beat of my own drum, right? I'm not trying to be better than you. I'm just trying to be better than I was yesterday. I'm working out my own soul salvation with fear and trembling. I'm just trying to be the king's kid. I'm just trying to be the salt of the earth. I'm just trying to be the light of the world so I can make a difference in somebody else's life, because I may be the only light that somebody ever sees. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so you always hear me say, you're never closer to the will of God than when you're impacting somebody's life in an amazing way. Then you're bringing fresh air to someone who feels like the world is closing in on them. And that's why I don't believe that God believes, or we see in the Word of God, anything as it relates to mean Christians. You got it? Oh, it got real quiet in here. Praise the Lord. All right, you know, and unfortunately, there are mean Christians in the world. Praise the Lord. Now, everybody look at me. Don't look to your left. Don't look to your right. But just look to me. Prayerfully, there are none in here. You got it, because that's not God's will for our lives. Amen. And so you have to every day work at allowing the fruit of the Spirit to be in operation in your life, that I don't care what somebody says about me, I'm going to love them in spite of. I don't care what someone does to me, I'm going to forgive them in spite of. I'm going to forgive them because God has already forgiven me. And who am I not to extend the same thing that God has extended to me to somebody else? You got it? I don't want you to hurt me, but if you hurt me, I got to forgive you. I don't want you to lie on me, but if you lie on me, I got to forgive you, because I don't match energy. I set the standard. I'm going to do it God's way so I can see God's results in my life. Now, that's a good place to clap, and you almost missed it. So every day I thank God for who he has made me to be. Every day you've got to thank God for who he has made you to be, because we are who we are by the grace of God. Everybody say, I am who I am by the grace of God. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't make adjustments along the way. Come on, talk back to me. That doesn't mean, you know, I'm not the same pastor I was 18 years ago. I'm not the same father I was 18 years ago. I'm not the same husband I was almost 27 years ago. You got it? I made changes along the way. I made adjustments to make me better. I made changes in my thinking. I made changes in my attitude. I made changes in my perspective, because I made it up in my mind that I'm always going to get better and I'm not going to get stuck. And so I'm not going after anybody but Jesus. And when you look under Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, you can't help but say, man, I want to be more and more like him. I want to be made more into his image, and the only way to do that is to continue to cultivate a relationship with him. Does that make sense? So the key is to relax in who God has made you to be, while making adjustments along the way. And so if I get encouragement along the way, great. But if I don't, it's okay. If you get encouragement along the way, great. But if not, it's okay, because like David, how many know some seasons of your life, you got to just learn how to encourage your own self, right? You know, and I mean, you know, and you have to be careful to always look for applause. I believe people should applaud you, but if they don't, you're still fearfully and wonderfully made. I believe people should applaud you, but if they don't, you're still the apple of his eye and the object of his affection. If they don't applaud you, you are still somebody. You are still anointed. You are still called by God. You still have been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You still are somebody. Right? And so I'm not looking for applause, because I'm walking in my assignment. So if you clap for me, cool, but if not, I'm still called. Right? Because you got to get it made up in your mind that I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. That's a good place to clap right there. So number one, relax in who you are. All right? Everybody say number two. Number two, examine your life for sin. Examine your life for sin. We don't like to talk about sin, but how many know we have to? Sin will take you places you don't want to go, leave you longer than you intended on staying, and make you pray prayers that you should not pray. Lord, if you just get me out of this, I won't ever ask you to do anything for me again. See, I don't pray prayers like that because I figure I'm going to need him again. You got it, you know, and so we do have to examine our lives for sin, right? When we fall into sin, there's a lot that comes with that, guilt and shame and all these other things that keep us from the rest that God wants us to have. You know, when you get caught up into sin, you know, sin makes you worry. Sin blocks blessings. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. So there's so many things that when you start getting caught up into things and doing things consistently, it really kind of pushes you away a little bit from God. All right. Jeremiah 5:25 says, your iniquities have turned away these things. Help me out, class. And your sin have withholden what? Have withholden what?
Good things.
What's good things?
Good things.
Have withholding good things from you. And so he says your iniquity turns away these things and your sin withholds good things from you. And sometimes there's good people that are falling into stuff that they don't need to be caught up in. And they wonder, why is the favor not flowing? Because I got sin in my life. You got it? Why is this not doing the way I thought it was supposed to? And that's why I have to examine my life for sin. See, you don't have to examine anybody else's life for sin, and they don't need to examine your life for sin. If we'll all just spend our own time working out our own soul salvation, that gives us enough to worry about ourselves. Does that make sense? Yeah. All right. So I've got to make it up in my mind that I'm going to have a heart that says that God, I want to do it your way so I can get your results in my life. Right. And so today you have to make up the decision that you're breaking up with sin. All right. You got everybody say I'm breaking up with sin.
I'm breaking up with sin.
All right. Yeah. Did you write sin a letter? Y'all remember when we were in school? You got with some of y'all, you got it. We're telling our age now, but when we were in school, especially when we were in, elementary school, maybe middle, you know, if you like somebody, you send them a letter and it says, I like you, do you like me? Check the box for yes, check the box for no. Y'all remember that, right? Yep. And then not so much elementary, but when you got to middle and high school, you know, when you called yourself dating, right? And you had you a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you know, the way you really knew if you was cool because like, brothers, you might give her your jacket, right? Or she might give you something, right? But then what happened was when the relationship didn't work out, then you write them a letter talking about, hey, you know, it's not going to work out. It's not you. It's me, right? You know, and by the way, I need my jacket back or I need my bracelet back. Well, how many know you need to write sin a letter? And you got to tell sin, I can't do this no more. Tell him it's not you, it's me. I was not created to live this kind of life. And by the way, I just need my stuff back. I need my joy back. I need my peace back. I need my healing back. I need my freedom back. David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And so you have to disconnect from anything that's not like God and stay connected to the vine so you can grow and be free and get the rest that God wants you to have. Does that make sense? Amen. And so you know, and once you get free, everybody say stay free. That's why the writer says, and be entangled again, not again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, once you get free, close the door. You got it. Close the door. Everybody say close the door. Yeah, close the door. Don't leave it cracked just in case, I'm feeling froggy one day. No, close the door. You got it. And so when you close the door, everybody say close the door. Yeah, make it up in your mind, right? You know, if you're single and you've been dating somebody and you realize, you know, that he wasn't good for you and she wasn't good for you and you finally, you finally break it up, close the door. Delete the phone number. You got it? Block the person. I'm not talking about being hateful or being mean. I'm saying you just got to do what you got to do so you can keep your heart right, so you can keep your mind right, so your soul can get the rest you need, so you can move forward in life. You got it? Don't start getting all emotional remembering what happened when. And, you know, if 99% was bad, but that 1% was okay. No. Just forget it. You got it? And move on from it. And this time, set some better standards for your life. Come on, somebody. You know what I say. Tell them no wed, no bed. No ring, nothing. You can't try it before you buy it. You sure look nice, I'm cold as ice, but please don't touch my merchandise. Like, tell them, no, we ain't going down that route. And once you get free, everybody say, stay free. Yeah, man, accept God's forgiveness and experience. Everybody say, rest. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So repentance never puts us at the back of the line. It just puts us back in line. It just puts us back in place so God can continue to help us move forward in life. You know, I like to tell people that hell is not a place that God sends you because you're mad, right? Because he's mad at you, right? Just don't listen to that, and don't listen to people who talk like that. I feel like Jesus. You do err because you don't know the scripture nor the power of God, right? Hell is a place you go to pay for your own sins, but why go to hell and pay for your own sins when Jesus has already died, shed his blood, paid for your sins, and all you have to do is accept him into your heart and live for him, and if you live that life, it's going to be a better life anyways. Does that make sense? Yeah. Number one, which was letter R, we've got to relax in who we are. Be comfortable in your own skin. Number two, which is the letter E, examine your life for sin, all right? Before we head into number three, y'all get anything out of this? All right. Number three, letter S, is surrender to the will of God. Surrender to the will of God. Now, the first lesson in this series was all about surrender, right? So if you didn't listen to it, you got to go back and listen to it, because the entire message was on how I surrender completely my life to God, all right? Surrendering to the will of God, this is where we have to submit our will for his will and our way for his way. This is where we have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, and not stiff arm the Holy Spirit on certain instances where it's funny how we want his help over here and we want his help over here, but we don't want his help over here. No, you got it. Yeah, I need him in every area of my life. I need him leading me. I need him guiding me. I need him helping me. I need him checking me. I need him correcting me. And you want correction, because whom the Lord loves, he corrects. And so correction doesn't feel good on the front end, but it does a lot for you on the back end. Right? And so you have to, and the thing I love about God is when he corrects, he always does it in a loving way. You got it. He ain't gonna be like, didn't I tell you? He don't do that, right? Praise the Lord, all right? Isaiah 1:19 teaches us that if we're willing and what class? Obedient, what's gonna happen? We shall eat the good of the land. In other words, if I do it God's way, I'm going to get God results in my life, right? Everybody say, obey God. I mean, and it's just simple as that. Obey God. No matter what it is, if you feel the Holy Spirit saying, hey, we need to spend a little bit more time in the morning, you know, so wake up 15 minutes earlier. Everybody say, obey God. Or God says, hey, be a blessing to somebody else. And what you're doing is thinking about, man, I just got enough the way I got it budgeted to get me to next Friday. You got it. Everybody say, obey God. Because God is trying, anytime God asks you for something, he's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you. That was a seed that he wanted you to plant into somebody's life so he could produce an incredible harvest in your life. And so you've got to learn to obey God, not in some areas, but in every area of your life. When you get offended at something that you probably shouldn't have got offended at, and then here comes the Holy Spirit, real nice like he always is. Now, you know you shouldn't have got offended. You know that situation wasn't what you thought. You got one or two things. You can, watch this, you can stiff arm the Holy Spirit, or you can surrender to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, you know you're right. Father, I'm sorry. You can get it right and keep on moving with the rest of your life. Everybody say, obey God. Job 36:11 says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in. Come on, class, their days in. And their years in. God's plan is the best plan for your life. God's plan is the best plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God's plans are the absolute best plans. And so you gotta learn that his way is the best way. And if I was you, I would have the revelation that as long as Jesus is on the boat, I cannot sink. Right? As long as he's on the boat, I cannot sink. All right, here we go. So we said that number one was letter R, relax in who you are. We said number two was letter E, examine your life for sin. We said that number three, letter S, was surrender to the will of God. I got them all right that time. Here we go. Praise the Lord. And number four, letter T, there it is on the count of three. I want you to say it. One, two, three. Right, Jesus says that we are not to sometimes pray, but always pray and not faint or not give up or not throw in the towel. You got it? Jesus teaches us that we should pray and never give up. See, you got to understand that worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. Prayer is a conversation you have with God about things he can change. Let me say that again. Worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change, so why worry? Prayer is a conversation you have with God about things that he can change. And you've got to understand that God is not interested in just being your Sunday God, but God wants to be your everyday God. You know, he wants to be there with you on Monday. He wants to be there with you on Tuesday. When all hell breaks loose on Wednesday, when the job is acting crazy on Thursday, God says, I don't want to just be there on Sunday when we're picking them up and putting them down, but I want to be your everyday God. I want to lead you. I want to guide you. I want to comfort you. I want to strengthen you. I want to help you. He has made a commitment. I'm getting excited. He has made a commitment that he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you, that he is always going to be with you until the end, that he's never going to let you down, that he's never going to break your heart. And I believe that's why the writer says, what a friend we have in Jesus. Okay, let's go home court, aka DJ Keys. Yeah, because women, y'all got your thing, but we got our thing too. Where my strong men at? Where my strong men at? Yeah. Okay. All right. Romans 12 and 1. Romans 12. Lady, don't be laughing at your pastor. I love this scripture. I love this scripture. I think we can sum up a lot of what God wants us to do with this scripture. So here we go. Watch this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping. Who helping?
God.
And how many know God will always help? He says, take your everyday, ordinary life, the things you do on a consistent basis, day in and day out. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as what? He says, so that's why the writer says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That wasn't just our benediction in Church of God in Christ when I was coming up. But David was saying, let the things that I say and the things I do line up with who you are, so I can be the best light to shine for other people, so I can also live an incredible life. And he says, embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Can I get up? He said, instead, fix your attention on. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-informed maturity in you. And I've got to understand, man, if I'll just do it, God has already given me everything in his word for me to live an incredible life. And I just need to take God's word and not just be a hearer of it, but be a doer of it so I can apply it in my life. Because I'm here to tell you, you keep hanging around here, things gonna change in your life. You are going to make it and you are going to win. Matter of fact, you need to say that to yourself. Say, I'm going to make it and I'm going to win. Say, God is with me. God is greater. Say, God is with me. I cannot fail. So you gotta learn how to talk to yourself. Yeah. You've been made of the tough stuff. You've been made in his image. You've been made in his likeness. And let me help you. And the ones that counted you out, they couldn't count. They couldn't count. Because God is with you. And in every situation when you step in faith and understand the God factor, that God is with me. So God may have given you a dream. He may have given you a vision. He may have spoken something to you. And it seemed like I tried to share it with somebody and they wasn't feeling it. And I tried to share it. Don't share it with nobody else. Make it up in your mind that I'm going to build myself up in faith. And when I'm ready, I'm going to step out in faith. And I'm going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living in my life. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for your word. We know it was good seed that fell into good ground, and it will produce a harvest in their lives. I bind the hand of the enemy that would try to steal the seed that has been sown into the lives of the believers today. I thank you for the harvest, and that none of the harvest is lost today in Jesus' name. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building, maybe you're in the room or online and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10 and 9 that if we will just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let me break that down. That just means that you have to believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die on the cross to pay the sin debt for you, to pay the penalty for you. And to the degree that you'll realize that, and that you will ask him to forgive you of your sins and ask him to come into your heart. The Bible says that every man that comes to Christ is a new creature, that old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. One translation says that today becomes a brand new day for you. And so maybe you're in the room or online and you need to give your life to the Lord. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Maybe you just kind of got off. And I just want you to know that God's not mad at you. God's not angry with you. God's not upset with you. And please don't listen to people who talk like that. The truth is, God's love for you is undeniable. That if God had a refrigerator in heaven, your picture would be on it. His love for you is undeniable. His love for you is indescribable. And I believe that he's knocking on the door of your heart. And I believe that today is the day of salvation. Maybe you're in the room or online and you're just a Christian. And maybe you made a mistake. You messed up. And as all of us do at times, said something we shouldn't have said, acted a way we shouldn't have acted, those kind of things. 1 John 1 and 9 was written to the believer. I read it a little earlier. If we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So repentance doesn't put us at the back of the line. It just puts us back in line. And so this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray this prayer together as a family. And so for those of you that say, hey, that's me, I need to get saved, I want you to pray this prayer. For those of you that say, hey, I need to rededicate my life to the Lord, I want you to pray this prayer. For those of you that say, hey, I'm a Christian and I need to pray this prayer today, this prayer is for you. But I'm going to ask everybody to pray this prayer together as a family. Why? Number one, it'll help the person next to you that needs to pray this prayer. But truth be told, this is a prayer that we should pray. And so I want you to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you. A holy God, I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Okay, here we go. Everybody say, now Satan, I denounce you and every evil word. Tell him you have nothing to do with me, and I have nothing to do with you. Now boldly declare this. Say, Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Father, we thank you for what you've done, and we give you praise for it. I thank you for those that feel a connection with WLCC. And Father, I thank you that as they feel a connection to get connected, to make this their church, that they'll grab that connection card, that they'll fill it out, that they'll catch the QR code for membership 101, that they'll come. And so, Father, that we can begin to point them to Christ so that they can live a better life. I declare as a connection with WLCC that they will know God, they will find freedom, they will discover their purpose, they will make a difference. I thank you on today for those that will join WLCC. We thank you for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise? Are you glad?